In the summer of 1988, Paul Schulery, a naturalist with a lifelong love of Yellowstone National Park, stood in the midst of what looked like the end of the world. A few months earlier, a ferocious wildfire ripped across the landscape, and the once vibrant meadows were reduced to blackened wastelands. The fires, ignited by lightning earlier in the summer, had been raging for months. Dry, overgrown underbrush fueled the flames, and the result was catastrophic. 800,000 acres of Yellowstone, a full one-third of the park, were destroyed. For Paul, it was the destruction of a place that seemed eternal, a place that seemed almost holy to him. The wildlife had fled, and the grand lodgepole pines, these pines that defined the landscape and comprised 80% of the trees in the park, now stood as charred remnants, a reminder of what once had been. But as Paul walked through this devastation months after the fire, he saw something others had missed. Paul saw the first green shoots beginning to break through the charred soil. Nature isn't defeated, Paul thought. It's undergoing a transformation. It's becoming something new. In the Gospel of Luke, which we heard just a moment ago, John the Baptist declares that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. With fire. In many ways, this is a terrifying image, especially as we think about the current devastation on the west coast of this country. I don't want to think about Jesus baptizing with fire. Fire is dramatic. It can be and often is a source of devastation and destruction. And yet, the gospel reading tells us that this is how Jesus said we would be welcomed into the family of Christ, through the Holy Spirit and fire. When I read this gospel passage earlier this week, I couldn't stop thinking about these images that we're seeing from California, especially given the pain and the suffering and the fear caused by these fires. I think it's worth spending a couple minutes this morning thinking about the fire of the Holy Spirit and how that's different from a fire that burns with senseless, violent destruction. On this Sunday every year, we remember the baptism of Jesus. We refer to this as the feast of the baptism of our Lord, and we often baptize people on this Sunday. However, I'm glad to tell you that when we baptize Evan in a few minutes, we will be using water, not fire. Evan did this. You see, fire is not easily controlled. It reshapes everything it touches. But what about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit doesn't work like fires that bring needless devastation and destruction that end lives and decimate property. When the Holy Spirit descends into our lives like fire, when the Spirit seems to upend everything in our lives, it's not to bring needless destruction, but to bring transformative and new growth. As Paul realized in Yellowstone nearly four decades ago, while fire is terrifying, it can also clear away debris and deadwood, burning through what has been left to stagnate and creating fertile ground for something new to grow. And that is the way the fire of the Holy Spirit works in our lives. The Spirit burns away the distractions, the sins, the fears that weigh us down and prevent us from growing into the people God calls us to be. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, is like that fire. After all, the Spirit doesn't stay neatly within the lines we draw. The Spirit is not contained by our comfort zones or by our schedules. The Spirit moves in ways that are often unsettling and frightening. It may call us to leave behind what is safe or familiar. It may push us to confront things we'd rather avoid or step into places we never imagined we could go. Just as fires transformed the landscape of Yellowstone 36 years ago, the fire of the Holy Spirit can transform the landscape of our lives today. Despite the aversion that we might have to think about fire right now, we can't simply ignore the power of fire. After all, the Bible tells us again and again that God shows up with the power of fire. God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. On Mount Sinai, God descended in fire to meet God's people. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended like tongues of fire on the disciples, not only to rest on them, but to ignite them with passion and courage and purpose. And even in the church today, we continue to remind ourselves of the presence of the Holy Spirit through fire. In the Eucharist, we light candles on the altar before we pray that the Holy Spirit descends and turns simple bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. At baptism, we light a candle from the Paschal candle as a reminder of Christ's love in the world. And we begin our Easter vigil in the dark by kindling a fire, making fire out of nothing other than stones that are being struck together, representing Christ's victory over death. Fire reminds us that the Spirit is powerful, and the Spirit never leaves us where we are. The Holy Spirit transforms us. In the passage we read from Acts today, it wasn't until Peter and John prayed and laid hands on the newly baptized Samaritans that the power of the Holy Spirit descended upon them, transforming them and equipping them for the work of God. Our Book of Common Prayer teaches that the Holy Spirit is God at work in the world and in the church even now. You see, the Holy Spirit isn't constrained to our past or limited to our future. The Holy Spirit is constantly working and moving and living among us today. And on this day, we will baptize Evan. Evan is a 14-year-old young man who has decided that he wants to be baptized, and will pray that the Holy Spirit descends upon him, and will say a prayer where we will pray that he is raised to new life, the new life of grace. We're not praying that Evan is incrementally changed, that he's slightly changed, that he becomes a little different, but we're praying that the Holy Spirit will make him new. In his book, The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, Thomas Kuhn argued that science advances not through little incremental changes, but through periodic transformative changes in understanding, which Kuhn called paradigm shifts. For example, at the beginning of the 20th century, physics seemed to be fully understood. Newtonian physics had guided scientific thinking for two centuries. But in 1905, a young patent clerk named Albert Einstein introduced his theory of relativity, arguing that time and space were not absolute, but they could stretch or contract depending upon motion. Einstein introduced a whole host of new ideas: black holes, the concept of space-time, the Big Bang. In other words, Einstein didn't tweak earlier beliefs. He demolished them. He dismantled them entirely, making room for new thoughts, new concepts, new ideas, new theories. Much like the fire that laid waste to Yellowstone and prepared the way for new growth. Scientific advances, in other words, are not incremental steps. They're giant leaps. They're paradigm shifts. And there are times when the Holy Spirit does this same work in our lives. While there certainly are periods of slow, progressive growth in our lives, there are also times when the Holy Spirit calls us to take a giant leap forward, a paradigm shift of the soul, to take on a totally new direction, to undertake a new calling, to even become a new person. Consider Peter for a moment. He was a fisherman by trade. He was not a scholar, not a leader. He certainly didn't see himself as a foundation of the church. He had denied Jesus 3 times. But when the Spirit descended on him like tongues of fire, Peter was transformed. This man who had once been paralyzed by fear now boldly stood before crowds and declared the truth of Christ's love and God's grace. Peter didn't ease into this new role. He leapt into it, empowered by the Holy Spirit. In our lives, day in and day out, God calls us faithfully and steadfastly to work in the vineyard, to love God, to serve our neighbor. But there may be moments, perhaps just once in a decade or even just once in your lifetime, when the Holy Spirit calls you to do something dramatic, something transformative, something completely different than what you have ever done before. And I urge you to be open to these moments when the Spirit speaks in your life, when the Spirit lights a flame, a spark that can change everything. For example, a friend of mine felt called a few years ago to start a nonprofit organization drilling water wells in Africa. He took time off from work, he pulled money out of his retirement, and he literally traveled to the other side of the globe. That was a dramatic and a transformational call. Or I know a woman who, after years as a successful corporate attorney, felt called to become a hospital chaplain. She left her job, she went back to school, she surrendered some of her financial stability, and she embraced a whole new job, a whole new vocation. That's a dramatic and a transformational call. When the Holy Spirit disrupts everything, it's because God is calling us to something greater. The same fire that consumes is necessary to create the fertility that lays the foundation for new growth. So if you are in the middle of a dramatic or transformational change in your life, if you feel the Holy Spirit calling you to do something wholly new, trust the Spirit's calling and take that leap. In 1988, Yellowstone's devastation was declared a national disaster. But as the months passed, blackened forest began to sprout with new hints of life. Wildflowers began to return in colorful waves. Animals re-entered the park and began to find new places to graze. And the lodgepole pines, these pines that defined the look and the nature of the park, the pines that were thought to be decimated, began to grow again. You see, it turns out that lodgepole pines have cones sealed with a thick, sticky resin. For years and sometimes even decades, these cones will remain tightly closed, bound up in this resin. Inside them brims seeds that have so much potential for new life, seeds that have potential for whole new forests. But here's the interesting part. Only fire, only intense consuming heat can melt the resin around these cones and allow them to release these seeds. Without fire, these cones would stay shut, these seeds would stay trapped inside, and these lodgepole pines would eventually go extinct. It's a beautiful paradox. For these trees, fire isn't the end, it's the beginning. It's the cause of abundance and new life. What seems like destruction is in fact the path to renewal. It was only after Yellowstone's fire of 1988 that these lodgepole pines began to see a resurgence around the park as new trees burst forth from the ground, stronger and taller and more vibrant than they had been in decades. The fire had not destroyed Yellowstone. It had renewed it and brought forth new life. So when the Spirit burns in us, totally redefining the landscape of our lives, its purpose isn't to create needless destruction and devastation, but it's to make space for something new, something more vibrant, something holy. So are we allowing the Holy Spirit to reshape us, to burn off the dead wood, to clear away what has become stagnant, the things that hold us back from God? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to prepare our lives for growth and renewal and vibrancy? Because the Spirit's fire is not something to fear. It's the power of God's love working to make all things new, starting with you and with me and with Evan this morning. So let the Holy Spirit burn in our hearts. Let it transform the landscape of our lives, and let it lead us into the fullness of life that God has planned for each of us. So in the moments ahead, as we prepare to enter this baptism, I'd invite you to pray about how the fire of the Holy Spirit may be working in your life. I would invite you to pray for those who are suffering on the West Coast because of that senseless fire. And I would also invite you to pray for Evan, who will receive new life, the new life of the Holy Spirit. Amen.